You know, I have wrestled with my calling and election for almost 32 years. That's about how long I have been in this particular ministry. A man came into my living room in the middle of an orchard out in the Central Valley of California by the name of C.L. Moore. And, you know, everybody wants to get prophesied over, right? Everybody wants these nice words of power and overcoming, isn't that right? When you want that kind of a word, praise God. Kind of word saying, you're doing well, son, press on, hallelujah, you're going to be great, and you guys see a big sword in your hand, and you're slaying the enemy, and just knocking the devil right back into hell. Praise the Lord. We're all looking for words like that, isn't that right? Huh? I was, praise God. I heard the prophet was around somewhere, and I'm looking for the prophet to come. How he found me, I don't know. You know, it's been so long ago. I lived out in the middle of an orchard, and you had to drive about 300 feet back down a little road over a canal in order to get to my house, which was hidden amongst a bunch of trees. Praise the Lord. But he found me. I could say unfortunately, but then I would be rebuked by the Lord. He found me, and he probably laid hands on me, and he prophesied over me. And, you know, I don't know that I have the audacity or the guts to call myself a prophet. I don't know that I want to be a prophet. They always come to some kind of violent end. They're either stoned, shot, hung, or strung out, or they are exiled to the island of Patmos. So I don't know that I want to be called a prophet. Now, if you want to be a prophet, you can stand up here and I can say, he's the prophet, or you're the prophet. But I am in the prophetic realm. I do operate in that capacity. For whatever reason, God chose to do that. I don't know, but he did make that choice. And you know, when Brother Moore laid hands on me, he said something. You know, he was saying all these grand things and, you know, these things that were exciting and you could look forward to. But in the middle of it, have you ever had that experience? You know, things are just going great and all of a sudden right in the middle, something twicks or something twists and you kind of wonder, what was that? Huh? You don't have that experience? I have them all the time. My goodness. Praise God. And right in the middle of it, he says, this is not something that one would desire. Oh my God, that should have been my first clue right there. Hallelujah. And but I have wrestled with it until here recently, one of the trips I was in Africa. I finally came to grips with what it was that God had called me for. Amen. And he's called me for this time. Amen. All of these years, 31, going into my 32nd year. All of that was training up for this time frame, for this period in which we are presently living. And you know, I am a child of this word. I'm not. God called me out of the church before I really knew what church was, and he called me out of the church and he put me under the authority of this word that we are listening to, this word that you have come to listen to this evening. And for whatever reason, it's probably because there is something in your heart that responded to God at some point in time when you heard this particular message of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Yes. And that message, that when you heard it, did something in your life that made you different from the rest of Christendom. And the first thing it did, it made you dissatisfied with the Christianity that you were accustomed to, or what you called church. Or maybe I'm the only one that had that sense or had that experience. You know, I was brought up in the church as a child. My mother was a very good Southern Baptist woman. She believed in God. She also believed in saving souls. You know, and that was the Baptist thing. You get saved and you save souls. And there's nothing wrong with saving souls. My mother saved everybody I brought home. Praise the Lord. In fact, she was saving so many souls, and I'm bringing them home, I stopped bringing them home. Because once they got saved, I could have no more fun. Praise the Lord. They started telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. Praise the Lord. But she was a good Baptist woman, and she had a hunger for God. And I don't know, she would find some of the kookiest people that were on the face of the earth or whoever lived in America. There were all of these weirdos that were talking about a living, walking, talking relationship with a God. You know, my God that I knew wasn't living, walking, talking, and it certainly wasn't in the place where I was attending Sunday school. I don't know about yours. Maybe you grew up in this message. But that was my experience. So that when there was a man that God sent via my mother, I don't know where she found him. Hallelujah. How she found him. I should say, I don't know how she found him, but found him she did in a town called Stockton that was up above where I lived, which was a town called Modesto. And she invited this man to come down down to her house and to participate with us in the meetings. God had called us out of the church by that time. We were meeting in my mother's home on a regular basis and worshiping and seeking God. And that man was Brother Dusile. Hallelujah. Now, before Mom found this guy, there was a man that came to my door one night at 11 o'clock. He knocked on my door. And, you know, I get up out of my bed, stumble out down the hall, look, and I'm cautiously looking, you know, out through the curtain to see just exactly who's banging on my door. And it was a man called Cody Bowman. Never met the man before. Didn't know anything about him. But that knock started a lifetime relationship with Cody Bowman. My goodness. And he began to talk to me he had heard that we were having meetings in the home, and he had heard that the Spirit of God was moving in that arena, and he was interested. He was so interested, he got me up out of bed at 11 o'clock, and when I opened the door, he didn't say, "Hi, I'm Cody Bowman." He just started talking to me about the end time, no rapture and all of this sort of stuff going on. I hadn't heard much about it. Huh? Praise God. And so I invited him in, and he began to explain or tell me about this man up in Stockton who he wanted to know if I wanted to go with him to listen. Can you imagine that? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, anyway, in the course of time, God brought Brother Dusile through my mother down into my mother's home, and he stayed with us for 3 to 4 weeks. And we had meetings every night. I was working. I was married, and I was working, and working very hard. But every night, I was there early, talking. I would call my mom up, and I'd say, "Hey, can we come over for dinner tonight?" You know. And then in the morning, I'd call her up and say, "Can I come over for breakfast?" Because I wanted to talk to this man. He had something that I knew was from God. I was fresh out of the church. I didn't know much about God. I didn't know much about this word. I didn't know the things that pertain to the sons of God or any of the terminology. But yet the fact of what he was talking about and the way that he related it stirred something in my soul. Amen. Did you hear me? It stirred something in my soul. And for every night, every morning, and sometimes at lunchtime, I was there in my mother's home talking with this man, sitting and listening to his many stories. Hallelujah. And every night from 7 in the evening, we'd have meetings from about 7 to 10:30. And then everybody would leave, and then we'd really get down to having some good meetings. Hallelujah. But I was in there with him for every morning about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd finally get up and have to go home to my bed. Every night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then start all over again. And for 3 weeks, that was the resume which we were living by. But there was something that was happening inside of my heart. Do you hear me? Something was happening inside of my heart. This word was touching something of a resonant chord down inside of me. And I was saying to myself, this is God. This is God. Now, some of you children who have grown up under the auspices of this word, you haven't had that experience possibly. You have heard about this, you've heard about that. It's become something that you're used to, ritual. It's almost habitual. And unfortunately, some of you have lost your appetite for God. Hallelujah. Well, what I'm here to tell you is that God is about to do things in the world and in the economy of your life, your experience, that is going to make you wish that you had paid more attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many things I could probably tell you concerning some of the things that God has been speaking to me, but tonight I want to kind of reiterate and emphasize the last song that we were singing, because that song was the word of the Lord. Do you hear me? That song was the word of the Lord. Now, I don't know what your previous or what your current experience is as far as God or this word is concerned. But what I do know is how God looks at us as a church, as a fellowship, and how He is assessing it isn't to our benefit. It isn't to our position, our place of accommodation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we are people who have heard something different than the nominal church out there. We are supposed to be a people who have got on the inside of God's mind. Not only are we supposed to be getting on the inside of God's mind, but we are supposed to have been inside the inside of God's heart. Hallelujah. And if we were that type of a people, then our response would be different. We would not be looking like the world. We would not be talking like the world. We would not be talking like natural people. Hallelujah. And our minds would not be spent or concentrated on the natural things of our horizontal relationship in living. Hallelujah. Because what the scripture says that is pertinent to you and I as chosen people of God is that we are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. With all of your soul. And with all of your mind. In another place it says, with all of your strength. Now that word strength is an all-encompassing thought. It's not just your physical strength. It is your mental strength. It is your emotional strength. It is the strength of your will and your desires. Hallelujah. And we as a church have not fulfilled the obligation or the position of consecration that has been demanded of us in the aspect of the word that we have heard. Now, some of you are going to go out of this building and you're going to toss it away. You're going to toss it away. Because you're not going to believe that God came here tonight to talk to you about your position of dedication and consecration. And you're going to think in your mind that it's the same old thing that I have heard before and the same old words that have been spoken, and that the result of it is going to be the same. Nothing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn them to Revelations. I want to go into the third chapter. I have been very much aware in my travels of a difference in the spiritual environment of God. Hallelujah. Now, you can put your finger there in the third chapter, but I want to go back first over here to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 26th verse. I forget where I was when the Lord spoke this verse to me. I was in Africa somewhere. Hallelujah. But it was a word that God spoke to me concerning the time frame that we are living in. You know, I think I have been here since the three conferences ago. You know, I really don't count time by January. I count them by conferences. And in particular, the Illinois conferences, because something happened in one of those conferences about 4 years ago that scared me. I saw the spirit of deception moving in and amongst the congregation, and I saw many people who should know better nodding their heads and saying, praising the Lord. And it scared me. Because it says, in those days, the deception is going to be so great, that if it were possible, even the elect should be deceived. Now, I have used that scripture as a means to justify my laziness and my laxivity in God. Now think about it. I consider myself part of the elect. I consider myself in the revelation that I have about the elect, something that gives me the strength to resist deception. But you want to know something? Unless I know God, the revelation I have of God will be the thing that the devil uses to deceive me. Did you hear me? It is not a matter of knowing a revelation about God. It is not a matter of knowing the revelation of God concerning the end time. It is a matter of knowing the revelation giver. So that when you know the revelation giver, the revelation of what he is begins to jive and to match up, and you cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. You know, if I really know you, and if I really know you, I spend time with you, we talk about intimate things, and we have sharing and fellowship, you know, and I am going to know who you are. You're going to know who I am. Huh? And if somebody comes to me and says, well, Andy said blah, 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 and I'm going to say that's not true. It's not true. That is not true. He would not say that. I know him. Do you hear me? I know him. The only thing that's going to keep me from being deceived is my position of knowledge and my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm going to know the reality of him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this spiritual thing that we talk about, it's not the fuzzy wuzzies. It's not goosebumps and hair standing up on end or the chills that run up and down your spine. It's a realm that is so out of context with our thinking that we kind of lose our sense of orientation when we begin to move into it. Hallelujah. I was in Sierra Leone some time back. Was it this year? April. I was in Sierra Leone in April. And I begin to have some If I say out-of-body experiences, I know you're going to get the wrong thought. But let me put it this way. Whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth. Hallelujah. But God began to take me out of this natural realm. And He began to move me into this spiritual realm. Not that glorious place where you see angels singing and harps playing, and children laughing. Hallelujah. But this realm of hell, with all of the things that are going on in it, He began to take me into some of the secret places. And the thing was so real to me, and the thing was so disorienting me. I don't know, have you ever spun around, and then stopped and tried to get your balance? Hallelujah. Everything seems to be moving. Nothing seems to be really real. You can't really grasp or get the feel of it. Well, it was something of that nature. And I got to the point, I said, God, I think I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my grip. Hallelujah. I don't know. I was there by myself. As far as traveling was concerned, And I'm saying to God, I said, is this you? Or am I hallucinating? I need to know. And about that time, I had a knock on my door. I was staying in the home of some Christian people there. And in Sierra Leone, in Freetown. And I heard a knock on my door. This was early in the morning. And I opened the door. And Sister Geraldine standing there, and she shoves this mobile phone into my face. And I'm looking at it, and she says, Sister Beery is calling for you. Well, Sister Beery was in Kinshasa, which is down in the DRC. And she said, Brother Bert, the Lord told me to call you and to share a dream that I had with you. And she began to share the dream. And the dream she began to share was the experience that I was having. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Because God knew that I needed that reassurance. I'm sorry that I needed that reassurance. But I did not know God well enough to be able to keep my equilibrium in that realm of the spirit in which God had elevated me or brought me into. Hallelujah! We are living so far down. We are living so far down out of the spiritual reality of the environment in which we live. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, one of the things that I have been repenting of is the fact that I did not teach my children the spiritual reality of the environment in which we live. I taught my children many things. I taught them how to be responsible. I taught them how to make a living. I taught them how to work hard. I taught them about honesty and integrity. I taught them the things are the principles of God. Hallelujah. But I did not teach them the spiritual reality of the environment. Oh, yes, they had that little spattering here, that little spattering there. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were going to church. Sometimes God would talk to them in dreams and whatnot. All of that, yes. But that's all superficial. It's superficial. It's superficial. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God gave me the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth concerning Him and concerning the realm in which He lives. And the fact or the desire that He has for me as well as my children. Hallelujah. So it's no wonder that my children begin to stumble and they begin to fall over certain environments, over certain circumstances, over certain pressures. I did not teach them the reality of spiritual warfare. Because I did not know, but it is of no excuse, do you hear me? I have to repent of my ignorance. Do you hear me? I have to repent of my ignorance concerning the issue. Hallelujah. Because I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only did I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I had the Word of God. I had this Word of God. Hallelujah. So there is no excuse for me. You could just as well point your finger at me with regards to Romans 1. Do you know what Romans 1 says? That when that everybody has no excuse for not knowing that God is real. They have no reason or no excuse for not knowing not only that God is real, but God is a spiritual being that lives in a spiritual realm. Hello? Hallelujah. Because it says that even the Godhead is manifested in natural things. So I can look at natural things and know the revelation of the Godhead. Hallelujah! So I have to repent. I have to repent. Hallelujah. I have to go to my children and I have to repent. I am sorry that I did not teach you the reality of the Spirit, but I am correcting my mistake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you how to fight the devil. But many of you are not going to use it. You're going to go out of here and you won't use it. Hallelujah. But because you now know how to fight the devil, you are accountable and there is something that is required of you. Hello? That means that if the devil comes after you and you don't use the instruments that God has given you to fight him, hallelujah, whatever the devil does, he has the right to do it and you will be the recipient of it. And God will not do anything to intervene because he's given you the ability to do it. It's a new dispensation. It's a new dispensation. Do you hear me? It's a new dispensation. Hallelujah. The rules of warfare not are changing, but they're coming to a place of fullness. It was not more than about a year or so ago that God said he was lowering the hedge. Hallelujah. Another notch. Hallelujah. He was lowering the hedge another notch. But when he lowers the hedge, he gives you and I an unction, an anointing, an understanding, a revelation of how to combat him. And he gives us the strength by which we might employ the means of of weaponry that he gives us. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. You know, the devil's machine, boy, you know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, I kind of understand a little bit in what he was saying to Nicodemus because I feel so much like Nicodemus. Supposedly having a knowledge of the Word, supposedly having some understanding of the Word, and yet not able to comprehend the spiritual reality of the Word. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus and was questioning about his position, his place of authority, and Jesus began to talk to him about being born again. And he did not understand the spiritual reality of what it is that Jesus was speaking about. How can a man, when he is old, return again to the womb of his mother and be born again? Well, we would think, being as we have been born again, that was a stupid question, right? Hallelujah. But we are so much like Nicodemus in the fact of our position of doubt concerning what it is that God has said that He wants to do with us and where it is that He wants to bring us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish to God that we had the tenacity, or at least we had the flexibility that Mary had when the angel came to her. Huh? She said, "How can this thing be?" But she did not stop there. She did not get hung up there. We are hung up. Amen. On the thought of how can this thing be? We look at each other. We see their faults. We see their shortcomings, their inconsistencies, their unfaithfulness, their position or their place of trouble in the flesh, their anger on all of the things that go in the human realm. And we are thinking, how can this thing be? Huh? Oh, we're very easy to point out, you know, you do this, you do this, you did this, I could do this, and if I did this, you would be able to do that, and so forth and so on. You know, we kind of want to do the pass the buck type of game. Hallelujah. And it's not me pointing out your faults. You know something? You don't have to tell me what my faults are. Of course, that doesn't stop many of you, but you don't have to tell me. I'm very much aware of what my faults are. And if I do not do something about it, I am the loser. Amen. Hello? Well, you can say amen for that one, right? Just turn it around. If you don't do something about it, huh? You are going to pay the consequences. You are going to miss Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're going to miss Jesus Christ. And if I don't do something about me, I'm going to miss Jesus Christ. I'm going to be standing out there holding the bag. I'm going to be on the outside of the door when the door shuts. And it shuts. It shuts. It's click, clunk, lock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a minute, there was a service one time that Sister Susan was down there in Muhammad some time back, and she got up and she was exhorting us, I think, to continue on, to press in, to press through. And what she made a say, she said, after all of these years, coming down to the end of the day, coming down to the end of the wire, and finding out I don't have the tenacity, the determination, or even the want to. Did you hear me? It's not a matter of strength, not a matter of tenacity, it's not a matter of determination, it's a matter of want to. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
My God.
Live a natural, happy life? Well, sorry. you can try it. Huh? Things are changing. Do you know the demographics of life is changing? Do you know that? Huh? The demographics of politics is changing? Huh? You know it's changing? The freedom you have last year, you won't have next year. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Hmm? Do you also know that the economy of the world globally is sliding into the tube? How do you think that will affect you? You know, I was talking to Brother Jokes, and he says, for the first time in 200 years. Was it 200 years, brother? Was it Nigeria you were talking about, or was it Africa? Huh? Hallelujah. Yes. It's first time in 200 years that they are getting more money from other countries than what they are getting from the United States and Europe. Do you know what that means? Yes, global investment. What, do you know what that means? It means your economy is of no value. It's no value. Now, you might be making money and putting it in the bank. But one day when you wake up and you call your bank, you find out your money is not worth anything. Hello? Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, there was something the Lord told me about 2 years ago. I think it's 2 years now. I don't know. But He said, tell the people of God, this is the year to buy gold. That was 2 years ago. When the Lord told me that, the gold was somewhere between $500 and $600 or maybe $700 an ounce. Does anybody remember me saying that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I won't ask you how many of you bought gold. Hallelujah. I called up all the people who have blessed me. Do you know what I mean? Over the years, the people that have blessed me, that have been feeding me and clothing me and paying my rent. I called them up and I said, look, this is for what it's worth. And you can go to God about it, but this is what I'm telling you, is what God told me. He said, this is the year to buy gold. I had somebody come to me and said, well, I guess he was kind of like looking for a bargain, you know. He said, well, what about silver? I said, well, you can buy silver if you want to, but what I'm telling you is God said to buy gold. That's what God told me. And that's what I'm telling you. I think gold is what now? $1,800 an ounce? Huh? $1,700 an ounce. Do the math. Do the math. You know, you could probably gone down and borrowed money and bought gold and turned around and sold it today and paid off your loan, paid off your interest, and still make money. Hallelujah. And there's something about God that He wants to warn the people that He loves. Do you know the attitude of the end time church in this hour is much like the attitude of the people when Noah was building his ark? Do you know that? We go to bed today, we get up tomorrow, it's the same. No rain. Not even a cloud in the sky. This has been going on for 120 years. That's because we don't understand the long-suffering of God. But let me tell you something, people. Hallelujah. It isn't going to be another 120 years. The demographics of the world are changing. Do you watch the news? Do you keep up on the economy, the political economy of the world? Not the money economy. I'm talking about the political climate. Have you noticed how they're changing? Huh? Do you notice how all of these places that were rioting against their rulers and their leaders, do you notice what they are doing? Does anybody got an idea of where it is that they now stand? Huh? Hallelujah. Most of it is Muslim dominated. Hallelujah. And do you know the insurrection that is now happening with this occupying force? Hallelujah. Do you know that it is not somebody somebody that is demonstrating against corruption? Do you know that? Do you know that it's not just a cause that somebody is pushing? Do you know that it's a hidden agenda of the devil?
Oh, yes.
Do you know that it's a hidden agenda of the devil?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. To not only bankrupt the economy of this nation, which it is now virtually done, through the mechanics of laws and things that have happened with regards to the governments that have been in place, not just this one, but all the succeeding governments has set this government up for the kill. Hello? Hallelujah. This nation will never again be what it once was. Because there is a judgment of God upon it. There's a judgment of God upon it. And the Bible says that we are to come out from among them unless we be a partaker of their claims, of their plagues. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, you young people can probably lament and complain that you have no future. But you young people have stood in a place where many young people never had the privilege of standing. You have heard something that goes beyond what some of the children out there have never heard. But what I got news for you is that some of those children who have never heard are going to take your place. And it's the same with us as adults. It's not just children. Hallelujah. God is in the business of reorganizing His body. God is moving out of His place, out of His place of habitation to punish the inhabitants of this world, of this earthly world, this system of government, the system of politics, and to whatever degree that you and I are involved in it. Hallelujah. 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 Isaiah 26. Turn with me over there, please. This is a verse that the Lord spoke to me. Sometime this year or last year, I'm not quite sure when, time gets kind of messed up for me. I'm sorry. And at verse 20 it says, "Come, my people." Hallelujah. He's not talking about the nominal Christian environment. He's talking about a people. I suggest you go through the Bible and you look where God uses this term specifically. Huh? Jeremiah 31. Verse 31. "In those days, I will make a new covenant." With whom? The house of Israel. "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers." Most of us are returning to the ways of our fathers. And we're talking about our concept of God and the way that we worship Him. We worship Him in the formality of the structure of the word that we teach, but we do not believe the reality of that word. Hallelujah. And it is the reality of that word that is going to make a difference between me and God. It is the reality of that word that is going to cause God to look favorably upon me. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Or say oh me? One or the other. Hallelujah. It says, "Come my people." He's talking about a people who have entered into a covenant relationship with Him. Oh no, okay. What was the words of the song? Is there any way we can put that up there again? Or? Huh? What was the words of the song? Huh? No, not to hide me. Huh? What was that again?
"Take my life and offer."
Say it louder.
"Take my life and offer."
An offer. Take my life. How many of you sung that? How many of you? I'm going to see your hands. Did you sing it? Did you say the words? Did you mean it? Huh? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You know, there was a message that was being preached in the church in Acts. And I don't know what the word was, but I have a suspicion it was this word. I have a suspicion that it was the word, God, I'm yours. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my mind. I give you my emotions. I give you my desires. Wait a minute. Is that what it means? Hallelujah. Is that what you meant when you were singing it? Huh? Or how about, Lord, I give you my wallet. Oh, boy. Your fingers get stuck. And suddenly your back pocket has got smaller than your wallet. You can't get it out. Hallelujah. You know, I'm exaggerating to illustrate a point. We have not done what we are singing. We haven't done it. I haven't done it. I have not done it. He doesn't have full possession of my desires. He doesn't have full possession of my emotion. There's some reserve in me that wants to hold back. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, it is not bad for me to come to that conclusion. Hallelujah. Unless I come to that conclusion, I will not change. Amen. Hello? I will not change.
Amen.
You will not change. And it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, you have heard a word that is not a 30% word. It is not a 60% word. It is a 100% word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It would be better for me if I never heard the word, if all I can do is 30%. Hello? Did you hear me? It would have been better for me never to have heard the word, because I'm not going to be assessed on what I have done. Did you hear me? You know, they say sometimes, say I'm pretty hard. I don't think so, do you? You don't have to answer that. But if you want to know a reason for my hardness, you can just ask Brother Jokes back there. He explained it one time very perfectly. He said it was the Day of Atonement, and one needs to afflict their soul. Hallelujah. And you know what they say, misery loves company. Hallelujah. But I don't look at it as something miserable. I look at it as something of a opportunity to move out of this realm of the temporal into a realm of eternity. I don't have to wait till I die. I don't have to wait till somebody kills me. Hallelujah. I should be walking in my eternity prior to that event. Because as I'm not, I am not going to live up to the test that is going to be required of me in that environment. I'm going to try to save my life. Hallelujah. There was a little story I heard one time I either read it or I heard it or something. But there was this man and his wife, and they had 3 or 4 children. And the occupying force came in, and they captured their village or their town, and they were going through and they were trying to get everyone to renounce their position of Christianity. Hallelujah. I think I told the story once before somewhere. And as they were, they brought this man before them. They brought his wife and his children. And they said, if you don't renounce Jesus Christ, we're going to kill your wife. Hallelujah. And they pulled out a gun and they pointed it at her head. And they stood there and looked at him. And he said to his wife, I love you in Jesus' name. They blew her brains out. And they went down, each of the children. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? What if it wasn't your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your children? What if it was you? What would you do? What I know what I would do if I don't have God is I would recant. I need His position of relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you hear me?
Amen.
I am going to need that type of tenacity, that type of determination, that type of adoration and ability to believe in the reality of the eternal greater than the external reality of what is happening in my body or in my scope of experience. Hallelujah! Oh, you say it can't happen here. It's already happening. It's already happening. People coming in, the law coming in, ripping children out of homes because they are teaching the Bible or homeschooling or doing whatever, forcing them with restraining orders, and all kinds of horrendous, diabolical, demonic acts. You see, brethren, the devil has no moral compunction. The devil has no moral compunction. He has no sympathy. He has no human element in the realm of his soul that gives him the ability to ease up a bit. What the devil wants to do is to kill you. He wants to destroy you, wants to eradicate you through sin and deception, or in the aspects of the things of the world, wants to inundate you with all of the things of the world to suffocate and to eradicate the life of God in you. If he cannot do it in a spiritual sense, then he will do it in a physical way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know the devil's in the business of killing people? Hello? He's in the business of killing people. Hallelujah. And if he can't find somebody to do it for him, he will do it himself. He will step in and do it himself. Hallelujah. When I was in Sierra Leone and I had that experience, I was brought into the council room of hell. It was where they were strategizing against the world and against the Christians in the world and against the elect of God. I was absolutely overwhelmed by the fluidity in which it worked. They know everything about you. Did you know that? They know what your wants are. They know what your contentions are. They know what your desires are. They know what your habits are. They know what you like to eat, what you don't like to eat. They know your physical composition. They know the things that you're dealing with in your body. They know everything about you. Everything about you. Hallelujah. And they strategize as to how they can destroy you and me. Hallelujah. They look at me and they say, well, they got this and he's got this and he's got this. Well, let's set this up for him today and let us do this today and let us get this in this day. And we'll push him and then we'll push him and then we'll push him. And when we push him hard enough, he will do something foolish and he will shut the door on God and then we can hit him. Hello? Are you there? Huh? Devil wants to manipulate you into sin. And sin can be your anger. Sin can be your depression. Sin can be your lust or your want for something that is inordinate. Did you hear me? Inordinate affection is a tool by which the devil will destroy you. Did you hear me? You don't believe me, do you? Hallelujah. Well, whether you believe me or not, it's true. Hallelujah. You know, the fact of the matter is that God has showed us how to combat this. God has showed us what we can do to stop it. Hallelujah. He says, His mercies are new every morning. How many of you start your days with the newness of God's mercy? No, I don't mean unconsciously. I don't mean like, oh yes, it's there. Thank you, God, for that mercy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stopping and waiting on God. For Him to endow you, for Him to give you, for Him to inject you with that quota or that potion of mercy. Because you see, God knows what the devil has laid out for you already. Hello, are you there? God already knows the sin that is in your soul. He knows it. And he knows what the devil's going to do to trigger it. And it's as important for you as it is for this little one right there. Mm-hmm. We have to teach them how to fight the devil. Hallelujah. We have to teach them how to fight the devil. We have to tell them there is a devil that is out to kill you and he's out to kill mommy and he's out to kill daddy and we have the weapons in God to keep it from happening, and we have the weapons by which we might destroy the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. We have the weapons, but we are not utilizing them. We are like Abner. We have the sword. We have the ability to use it. We have the expertise to wield it and to use it defensively as well as offensively. But we keep it in our belt, huh? And the devil comes to kiss us. Hallelujah. The devil comes to kiss us. Betrayest thou Judas, the Son of Man, with a kiss? Huh? Hallelujah. 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 I probably told you the vision. I'm going to tell it to you again. Just so you, I can say that you heard it. Hallelujah. It says, if a watchman standeth upon the wall and he sees the judgment coming. If he sees the horde of hell coming and he holds his peace, him that is slain by the sword of that judgment, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I'm trying to deliver my hands of blood. I had a dream. And I was up on a high cliff. I don't know if any of you have been over on the coast of California. I don't know if you've ever been over there. But the coast of California is unique in some places because it has these huge cliffs. And the beach is way down there. There can be white sand going along the beach, but they have these huge cliffs. And it was like I was standing on one of those huge cliffs. And there was out before me on the sand of the beach all manner of people, families, men, women, mothers, fathers, children. And I knew that they were the Holy Place Church. Some of them were just dressed, most of them were dressed inappropriately. And they were frolicking and playing. And they were splashing in the water and playing their games, building their little sand castles, doing all the things that you do on a beach, unawares of anything except for sea, sun, and sand. And I looked out over the to the horizon of where the sea comes into the sky. And I saw this little ripple, this little hill. And I knew that it was the beginning of a tsunami. And I began to dance and yell up on this big promontory of rock that kind of jutted out over the cliff. And I was up there and I was dancing and I was shouting and gesticulating and pointing out there to the sea. And all the time I'm shouting and pointing and dancing and acting like a fool. Hallelujah. The thing is coming in and it's getting bigger and it's getting bigger and it's getting bigger. But they cannot see it. They do not seem to sense the reality of it. And I'm beginning to get more frantic. And I'm beginning to get more active. And pretty soon I notice that I'm shouting at the top of my lungs. Can you imagine me shouting and nobody hearing? And finally I seem to have gotten the attention of somebody. But they started pointing up at me and instead of wondering, they begin to mock me. They begin to emulate me dancing around and pointing, and they were all kind of laughing. Look at this madman. Look at this crazy man up there. Look at this fellow. Look at that fool up there. What is he doing up there? Hallelujah. And all the time the wave coming in. And destruction was imminent. And I came up out of the dream.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hallelujah. You know, when God was talking to the disciples, and the disciples said to them, teach us how to pray. I bet you most of us can recite the prayer by heart. Most of us, probably, if not all of it, parts of it. But do we really understand the reality of what Jesus was telling the disciples? Huh? The first revelation that he was saying, the first thing that he was sharing with them is your need or your revelation of him as your Father. Oh yes, you can say, my Father which art in heaven. Give me a break. Huh? How do you relate to my Father which art in heaven? How do you relate to it? Huh? Does it sound kind of boring? Huh? What does it mean? Where is the strength or the power in it? Hallelujah. Well, the first thing that you, what it does for you, if you have the understanding, is it brings a separation between you and the rest of the world. Huh? Because you're not talking about a natural father. Nor are you talking about a natural son. And if I'm calling him father, then that means that I have a position of sonship with him. Did you hear me? Our Father. Hallelujah. That means you are my Father. That means I am not under the jurisdiction of the prince of this world. Did you hear me? I am not under the jurisdiction of the prince of this world. I don't have to behave like a devil. I don't have to think like a devil. I don't have to move like a devil. And I don't certainly don't have to become a devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you think because you have the blood and the Holy Ghost that you cannot become a devil. I got news for you. It is not till the fifth station, hallelujah, in the tabernacle that you are sealed. It is not until the fifth station in the tabernacle that you are given a new name that cannot be erased. Up until the fifth station, I am erasable. Oh boy. Oh my, my, my. Did you hear me? I am erasable. Hallelujah. I got this little GPS thing, you know, you put down, and whenever you make a mistake, it's got an eraser over there. Huh? You just, and it goes, it's gone. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. I am erasable. I'm more erasable than anybody. Do you hear me? Because of the knowledge that I have and the fact of what I will or will not do with that knowledge. Do you know how critical it is for you as a person that has this word? You want me to tell you how critical it is? Huh? There's a possibility of losing your soul. That's how critical it is. That's how critical this word is. There's a possibility, unless you have the Baptist mentality, which is Catholic, by the way. Once saved, always saved. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Do you know that just touch on it. Hebrews, when it talks about the unpardonable sin, huh? You know, it's not somebody who goes out and commits fornication. If somebody goes out and commits fornication who has had this word, he's already rejected Christ. Hello? He's already rejected Christ. Hallelujah. It's talking about those of us who have had the reality of God, have had the mystery of God unfolded before us, have been given the power of that mystery in our lives to overcome the propensities of our flesh, and we did not utilize it for which it was given. Did you hear me? I have the power or the word of God, but I'm denying the power therein. You know, you're not given a word to get you into heaven. You're given a word to fulfill the desire in God's heart to bring you to sonship.
Hallelujah.
That's what we have been called for. Sonship.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have been called for sonship in the world where the spirit of Antichrist is going to rise up to crucify that son. Hello? The world, the spirit of perdition wants to crucify you. and the deal has already been made. Did you hear me? What Judas acted out in the last few days of Jesus' life had already culminated. He had already made the deal. Hallelujah. The money had already changed hands. Hallelujah. Do you think that it will be any different for you and I who have a hold this message concerning being a son of God? Jesus himself prophesied your persecution. Jesus prophesied your crucifixion. He told the women, the mothers of Israel, weep not for me. But weep what? For your son. For if they have done it to me, a tree that is green, what will they do when it is in the dry? My God. He's talking about you and I, the place in which we are living, and the time frame we are living in. Our only position, our only place is to shut ourselves in with God. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Hamakasanamaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish. Do you hear me? You know, this year, God said that we as a church need to go off of the defensive and go on the offensive. Hallelujah. There was a woman that I know in a land that I have been who is hearing something of the word that you're hearing. And as I was sharing with her and her husband some of the experiences and some of the wisdom or the knowledge that God had given me concerning our position, our place of bondage and our servitude to the spirit of Baal, she became convicted of her tolerance. And she had come out of the Catholic Church. And this woman, hallelujah, begin to get the conviction and the burden that she needed to get free of it. Hallelujah. She had been filled, she had been baptized in accordance to the covenant relationship. She had been filled with the Holy Spirit. God had healed her and delivered her on many different occasions. But yet she seemed to hear God and the demand that he was making on her to make every effort to eradicate her position or attachment to that Catholic Church. So she went on a hunt to find her baptismal papers. Hallelujah. Now, these people are in a spiritual battle. The word on the street, the spiritual street, is the devil wants to kill her. Now, why do you think that he wants to do that? Huh? Because she's setting a precedent. A precedent. She's making a benchmark Huh? Hallelujah. And she's finding out the Catholic Church does not want to let loose of her papers. And they sent her here. And then they sent her way over there. And then they sent her way over there. Huh? And she ended up going back with her husband to the original place. And God intervened with her, or for them, and the man promised to help her get what she wanted. Hallelujah. How many of you came out of the Catholic Church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think it's something to pray about. You know, there's been many words concerning you as a fellowship and the Catholic Church. And yet something is hindering the strength and the power that is seemingly God has spoken that He has given you. What do you think it is? Many dreams come. And you know, it always comes in some sort or sense attached to the Catholic Church. There is something about the Catholic Church that you individually and collectively have not yet dealt with. It isn't that it isn't the time. It isn't that you don't have the strength. But something is keeping you from doing what it is that God wants you to do. You need to find out what it is. You need to find out. Hello? Yeah, if I have a problem in my life, which I do, many of them, I am the one that is responsible to go to God and say, God, what is this thing that is hindering me from moving in a place of victory and receiving the promise of what you have literally spoken to me in my heart and in my ears? Hello? You know, prophecy is not something you just write on a piece of paper and stick on the shelf. And at times of discouragement, get it out and read them. Hallelujah. Prophecy is a weapon. Prophecy is a weapon to use. It is instructions that God gives you by which you might disseminate and destroy the power of sin over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are not to be blaming each other. We are to be blaming ourselves. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said to Peter, you know, Peter, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. Hallelujah. He says, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, that means not when he became Christian, but when he began to overcome the propensity of his Peter nature, he would then have the strength to do what? Strengthen his brethren. Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear me? Strengthen his brethren.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When I begin to deal with the spirit of alcohol that was in my family and that I was a party to, but when I made up my mind to begin to resist it and to overcome it, God gave me a strength and a vitality to war in the spirit and in the natural. Yes. Did you hear me? And when I finally broke the neck of that spirit, my father was delivered. Yes. Hello? Did you hear me? He drank for over 60 some years. A fifth of bourbon a day. Hallelujah. He stopped drinking instantaneous after 60 some years of drinking. My brother, my older brother, stop drinking immediately. And my children have never been bothered or been pushed into drinking. Hello? I didn't say they didn't drink. I didn't say that they didn't try to drink. I am saying that they did not come under the bondage of that spirit, and they did not wind up in the gutter as alcoholics.
Amen.
They may have other problems, but not that one. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when I have begin to have children, I have a spirit of homosexuality that is in my family. Hello? Did you hear me? It's in my family. That means I had a weakness in my soul. I had a weakness in my being. I had a weakness in my body. Hallelujah. And I had to get down before God. In fasting and in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had to deny the flesh. I had to get in a place with God to where that thing was rooted up out of the Spirit, by the Spirit, out of my being and out of my family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I had a relative who was an actual participating homosexual. Hallelujah! God moved into their lives.
Yeah.
And arrested them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
We want to think it's an alternate lifestyle. We want to think it's undefeatable. It's impregnable. But I got news for you. The power of God is able to rip it to pieces.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have that problem in the church. In the Holy Place Church. Did you hear me? We have the problem in the Holy Place Church. And we sit on our beds or sit on our chairs and we twiddle our thumbs. Or we say, oh my, isn't that terrible? We should get down before God in fasting and prayer. God, I will not eat another bite until this spirit is destroyed. Hallelujah. I will not relent. I will not push back. Hallelujah. Until this spirit is destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My God, we have to come to a place in our relationship with God that we hate sin.
Amen.
We hate sin. We hate sin.
Hallelujah.
It says God loveth righteousness, but He hateth wickedness. Don't tell me God is not capable of hating something.
Amen.
He hates wickedness. You know, I had an experience with God recently. Oh boy. And it shook me to the core. I don't know how to explain it. But when I went to lay hands on somebody and to pray with them, all of a sudden, I was in God. And I felt God's anguish over the thing. I felt God suffering over the thing.
My God.
I felt God in the midst of that thing just being and groaning and moaning in the spirit for the release and the freedom that would be ministered to that individual.
Yeah.
You know, it is. When it was all said and done, I was so weak. It took me several hours to just get my equilibrium back together again. I'm still wrestling with the feelings of it. the anguish of God over the thought or the fact of somebody in a position of hurting. How much more does God anguish over the sin that is in my life? How much more does God anguish over the rebellion in my soul? Because God's in there with my rebellion. He sees the destruction of my soul. And it hurts Him. No wonder Jeremiah was crying. No wonder. I used to wonder about David Wilkerson. I don't wonder anymore. He had something that he could tap into the soul of God. And he could feel the shame. And he could feel the degradation and the pain of God for the people to which God had called him to minister. Hallelujah. 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 When the Bible says that you have not yet resisted unto blood. Do you understand what it's saying? No. Because I don't. And I had something of an experience that you don't have. But he was there in the garden. He wasn't agonizing over the fact of going to the cross. He was agonizing over the sin and the degradation and the death that was working in the midst of the humanity that he loved. And the destruction of their soul was destroying or moving upon his soul. We want to be vindicated. We want to be justified. We want to be proven right in our assumption of nothing. My God, you know, I was at the Creation Museum walking and I'm looking through at this and I'm looking and I'm thinking, you know, we don't know God. We don't know God. All of what we're seeing, all of the things that happen and the low, low, low level of it. Did you hear me? As good as it is, the low level of it. Huh? And I begin to sometimes when I'm walking just to begin to weep. Because we don't know. We don't know the depth of God. We don't know the breadth or the length or the height of God. We have this little bitty thing and we become so presumptuous and so ignorant of the reality of it. My God. Hallelujah. For the Lord is coming out of His place to punish the inhabitants, hallelujah, of the earth for their iniquity. Turn with me over to Revelation, please. Hallelujah. I want the verse where it... where it talks about the souls under the altar. Huh? Where is it? 6? Yes, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. Fifth seal, fifth station, altar, golden, incense. Hallelujah. And I cried with the, and they cried. You know, sometimes I can hear that cry. Do you know that? I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and I can hear, "Oh God, how long? How long, oh God, shall it be? Huh? How long, oh God, shall it be before thou will avenge?" Did you hear? The souls under the altar are asking God to avenge their innocent blood. It's not a matter of just you and I praying. It's not a matter of what we do or we don't do. Do you hear me? There's mechanics behind it that are moving us to a position or to a place that is called Armageddon. Hello? And you and I really don't have a lot to do with that mechanical thing. There are souls lamenting under the altar. In this dispensation of time, in this generation that is now upon the earth. Hallelujah. He says, "Oh God, how long? How long?" Hallelujah. "Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto them, unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should what? Rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants. Who is he talking about? He's talking about us. Hello? He's talking about us. Until their fellow servants. We're talking about a holy place people. Hallelujah. A holy place word. Hallelujah. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed. As they were should be fulfilled. It is my belief that we are now living in that time frame. What is it that we are going to do? And what is the decision that we're going to make? And where will we be at the end of the day when the door closes? Will we be on the inside? Or will we be on the outside? It's pertinent to this fellowship, to this people, to this time frame that we are living in. God bless you.
I remember someone sharing one time, the prophetic ministry puts the finger on the heart, and I believe God is really setting a proper tone for us tonight, for this weekend. As I was writing my notes on the various things that Brother Bert was sharing with us, place that we can truly be changed, but he still says it's up to us. So I just wonder if we could just pray together, ask God to really give us everything that we need to assimilate what he has spoken here tonight. It's not in the ability for us to intellectually think it out. It's because, see, the Spirit speaks to Spirit. You know, it says, "Deep calleth unto deep." And so what God is wanting us, and Brother Bert, you shared at the end, what did you say? You said, will we be on the outside or the inside? I don't want to be on the outside. And I do know when I was hearing tonight that the door in Isaiah that you were talking about, I was thinking of that the song that we sing in Psalms about Swing wide, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of Glory come in. So I don't want to close the doors if he's not in there, you understand. I want to open my heart up to God. I want to invite him in. I want him to cleanse the temple. And then I want him to shut the door. I want to be hid then, you know. I don't want to be hid with sin in my life. And so let us just pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just come to you tonight, Lord, as a people. God, as we have heard this word tonight, God, we are accountable. We are responsible for what we heard. And so we're asking, Lord, that you work in each of our hearts tonight. For you know each one of us. You know our frame. You know the condition of our heart right now at this moment. And God, you want to be the repairer of the breach. You want to restore. You want to deliver. You want to set free. And God, I believe that you are wanting to touch, to heal, to deliver this weekend, to cause us to repent, God, to even what we don't even know what to repent of. God, make us aware. Make us to know you. For Lord, we know that as you are speaking tonight, we have to come up much higher. God, I know even for myself, I do not want to stay in a low plane. God, I'll be a loser if I stay in the low plane. If I stay in Judea, I'll be Judea's plane, I'll be a loser. But Lord, you're beckoning, God, for myself. You're beckoning for all of us to come up higher. And so, Father, we want to open our hearts to you. We want to ask you to come in and to continue to touch us and to cause us to be convicted of our lack of sin, of unrighteousness in our lives, our slothfulness, the inability to really go after the devil the way we should. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us to repent so we could be changed, that we can have that determination, Father, to go all the way with you, to rise up, Father, to smite the enemies of our soul. My God, loose us tonight, Lord. Loose us tonight. God, we do not want to leave go of the altar. We want to receive the blessing. So we're asking, God, that with the word that you have spoke tonight and what you want to do this weekend, we're asking that you would continue to touch us, to open our hearts. Even as we leave this place tonight, God, may we commune with you in the night season. So that, Lord God, when we awake, we know that tomorrow is a new day and a new administration of what you further want to take us into. But Lord, we do not want to forget what we heard tonight. We want to do business with you.
Amen.
So Father, we ask that you would speak to us as we speak to you. And we open up to you. God, grant us the grace to open up to you. God, we pray. We pray against hardness of heart tonight, Lord. We pray for coldness of the soul. And we're asking, God, that the Spirit of God would revive us. Revive us, oh God, revive us. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Just soften our hearts, Lord. Soften our hearts to receive the engrafted Word of God. Let not one word drop to the ground tonight, we pray, Lord. Let not one word be picked up and stolen by the birds of the air, oh God. But Lord, just create in us. Do something. Create in us, Lord, that this ground will be fertile. This ground would be softened for the planting of the Word of God. So that, God, that the Word will not go out void. Father, we determine tonight that the Word will not go out void. But God, that it will do what it has been intended to do in the speaking of the Word tonight to each and every one of us here. And even everyone that was hearing over the internet, oh God. That God, your Spirit is speaking to us. So God, we pray we would respond to you right now. And in our beds, And as we commune even one with another, O God, may the blood of Jesus Christ wash us, cleanse us, deliver us, O God. You said the life is in the blood. Father, we call upon the blood tonight, and we're asking that you wash us. Wash us as we respond to the Word of God. We ask this in your precious name right now, Father. God, meet every need here in this place, every heart right now. God, as we open to you, respond to us, O God. We need you. We need you, God. Let your virtue come. Let us be set free as we call upon your name, Lord. Hallelujah. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Lord, we just believe, Lord, as we call upon your name, you will do that change in us. You would not bring a word if you did not give us an opportunity to repent. So, Father, we want to open our hearts to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes.